This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You also have holes on the offensive side of the ball, right? Like, now, Grant, not necessarily holes meaning like the players are leaving, but you've got a hole at center. You've got a hole at left guard.
Yep.
You've got a hole at wide receiver. You still need a second tight end, whether that tight end is a blocking tight end or a receiving tight end. You still need a second tight end.
You need running backs.
You need at least one more running back. You need a backup quarterback. You don't have one now. Dobbs and Allen are gone. They've got the kid that they signed as a priority free agent. I don't remember his name, but obviously, you know, didn't really make necessarily that much of an impact, but
I don't remember his name either.
Yeah. There's Tanner Mordecai.
Okay.
Look at that. Just percolating back there. arguably you need a kicker.
You do need competition
at kicker. And you need to get younger.
And yeah, they need speed in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
They're an old football team. Even their stars now. We didn't even bring up tackle. Trent Williams is going to be 37.
Yeah.
He was hurt a lot last year. Again, he's Trent Williams. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best left tackles ever, but he's going to get old. He's going to stop playing. George Kittle's awesome. He's 32. You only probably have a couple more years either having him at all or playing at this level. Christian McCaffrey is 29. These guys are getting older. Some of these stars, Fred Warner's put 28 or 29. He's been in the league 7 years or whatever it's been, 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. These guys are getting older. Bosa is still fairly young. Lenore's young, but a lot of the guys are getting older, man. So there's this offseason, if I leave you with anything, leave you with this. This offseason is huge, huge for the future of this team. They're at a crossroads this year. They need to figure out what they're going to be and what this team is going to look like. And if it is a lot of Band-Aids and they do screw up another draft, guess what? Doesn't matter with Purdy or anybody else because you're not going to have anything around them. You're not going to have a good team around them. I don't know that they do right now. I just think they have some top-heavy dudes. They have some great players. But do they have a really good team? I don't know. I don't think they do.
I was just looking up Fred Warner because we couldn't remember how old he is. He'll be 29 in 2025.
And pushing 30 in the NFL is kind of the magic age.
Do you know what Fred Warner's cap hit is in 2025?
Oh, wasn't it like 35 million or 40 million or something like that?
It's 29 million.
Okay.
And then 2026, it's 26 million.
Don't look at Nick Bosa in 2026. And then in
2027 is a void year. But still cost the 49ers $9.7 million.
So they'll probably redo that and push it back. I would think with both him and Kittle, I think they'll probably add years to them.
Yeah.
But decisions to be made. But, yeah, I mean, you're not walking away from any of those guys. One, because they're still awesome players. But two, also, they haven't kind of replaced anybody.
Yeah.
Bosa's even Trent Williams. There hasn't been a plan for that.
No. Bosa's 26 cap hit is $42 million, and his 27 cap hit is $52 million.
Jesus.
And his 28 cap hit is $42 million.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have to do something about that too. But that's why when you look at mock drafts, I've seen the Niners get mocked, I think, four or five different positions in the first round because they need, but I feel like people still, they're saying it, oh yeah, the Niners need all these positions, but then they're like, oh yeah, the Niners are going to be back next year. They need so much. Talk to me in May about if the Niners are going to be back or not at that point. Well, so let's see what they do. And then you could say, all right, you know, maybe this team is looking good. Where is Ayuk in his rehab and when he's going to be back? Too many questions right now.
I will say this, you know, Matt Maiocco came out with his first mock draft and he had the 49ers taking Tyler Warren and Maiocco is plugged in. So that concerns me. It concerns me that they think that they can make a pick like that at 11, knowing everything that they need, including a tackle, right, to replace Trent Williams, defensive tackle, edge, like all these positions that, you know, for the most part, at least offensive tackle, that if you're not getting them in the top half of the first round, the likelihood that they hit is pretty low, right? Which is why I'm still, like, I waffle back and forth between whether or not they would be willing to take a tackle at 11. We know they've done it before, right? We know that they took Mike McGlinchey high. That was top. Was that 9? What? I can't remember what.
Yeah,
I think it was top 10.
I think it was 9, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there's the tackles that are likely to be available at 11. There's like a group of 4. Right. It's Will Campbell. It's Kelvin Banks. It's Armon Membo. And it is Josh Simmons, who is coming off an ACL injury, which is a little scary. But I almost feel like with the depth at D tackle and edge in this draft, I think you look at possibly, again, drafting Trent Williams replacement and then stocking up on the defensive line in your next like second round, you know, third round, fifth round, whatever. But the only thing that it feels like to me, the only way that the 49ers can screw up 11 is if they draft somewhere that isn't the trenches. Like if they draft anywhere but the trenches, I'm going to be upset.
I get that. I think that they need high level dudes again because I keep saying, as these blue chip guys are aging out, there's nobody to replace. They don't have blue chip. They don't have another George Kittle. They don't have another Fred Warner. They don't have young players at that level, Hall of Fame level. So if they felt like Kyler Warren was a Hall of Fame player and they could find a way to use him and Kittle together, I wouldn't hate that. But I agree with you. They need so much in the trenches that it would be one of those things where I would say personally, all right, let's see how this goes. But they definitely took a risk here.
To me, it's like Tyler Warren would be like, all right, I'm going to put solar on my house. And you're like, yeah, but your foundation is crumbling. Like your house isn't going to stay up very much longer. But those solar panels are dope. Like that's cool. It looks great. Right. But you're like, you know what I mean? To me, that's kind of where. That's kind of where they're at in terms of what they need and should be doing in the draft.
Got to go inside out. Got to build from the inside out.
Which is what they came in saying that they would do, and they did. And then they went away from it. And they can't figure out why.
It's like they're putting more emphasis now on guys with the ball in their hands. But like you said, if the foundation isn't there and their foundation has gotten weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and you missed on Danny Gray and TDP and Trey Sermon and all these guys, Cameron Latu, all these guys that you tried to bring in early. Those 4 guys are awful. You know, they're not good players. You know,
you know what Cameron Latu has though? A Super Bowl ring.
Was he on the Eagles?
Yeah.
He on the Eagles roster? I didn't know that. I didn't think he was in the league.
Yeah. That's like, what?
Danny Gray's on the Eagles roster too, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know. I just knew Latu
maybe he was. And was TDP? A few of those guys were on the Eagles roster. I'd have to look and see, but I saw something like with their names, and I'm thinking, oh God in heaven. But these are, you know, practice squad type guys, bottom of the roster dudes that you spend second and third rounders on. So, yeah. Man, this draft, I can't wait for this draft. I don't know if I've ever been more excited about free agency in a draft, at least not in a while, just because, you know, I'm a football nerd. I like to see how they're going to do it. And I really feel like, not that I don't want to say it's 2017 again, but again, they're just at a crossroads where they need to start bringing in guys.
TDP is on the Eagles.
That's what I thought. Okay. They need to start bringing in guys who are going to really be the foundation for the next years. And this is the year that they have to do it. So,
yeah, for sure. You know, the Super Bowl, I don't think we necessarily learned a lot about what the 49ers need to do, because we already knew this is what they needed to do. But what I thought was interesting was, Kyle Posey posted this Monday after the Super Bowl. And, you know, we look at what the Eagles did, and they absolutely dismantled the Chiefs, just absolutely kicked the shit out of them. And I'll be perfectly honest. I hate the Eagles largely because I hate their fans. I've talked about it a lot. But the amount of joy that I got watching the Chiefs get the shit kicked out of them, was immeasurable. It was like, I know that my team didn't do it and whatever, but just to see them get absolutely obliterated was phenomenal. But here's what I thought was interesting. Kyle Posey, who writes about the 49ers at Niners Nation, said the 49ers defense did exactly what the Eagles did in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs needed 10 possessions before they scored their first fluke touchdown last year. Remember, that first touchdown came after a muffed punt. KC didn't pick up a first down on 6 of those drives. So it was 10 drives, 6 of them were 3 and out.
Yeah.
And they turned it over twice. It was domination, drive after drive. The biggest difference, the 49ers could only muster 10 points through those first 10 possessions. By the time KC scored last night, Philly already had 34.
Yeah.
You have to find a way to score more than twice when your defense dominates for that long.
Yeah,
and again, what was the story of the Super Bowl? Steve Wilkes, right? Steve Wilkes was the scapegoat. No, the defense dominated. It was the offense that couldn't do shit. And I thought that was interesting. Like, I think too many people forget that. I think
what you remember is the end of the game when the defense, when they stopped playing well, they really stopped playing well.
And the defense stopped playing well once Greenlaw went out. Like, I understand that. Like, they lost a lot when Greenlaw went out. But still, you should have had a significantly larger cushion than 10 points after those 10 possessions that you could have weathered when Greenlaw went down.
Could've,
but your offense only mustered 10 points.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda is the story of this franchise since 2011.
100%.